Is your life out of control? Could you use a little R&R? The pace of life is fast and getting faster. You can get control of your time, your priorities, your life. One place most people would never think to look for advice on how to get control of life is in the Bible. Today we're going to look at an important key to slowing down your life and getting the most out of every week. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Jesus and his disciples were walking through a field on the Sabbath day. And as they were walking along and they were talking, they began to pick some of the grain in the field and they began to eat it. In the Old Testament, there's a law that says that that's perfectly okay. If someone is walking through someone's field, they were allowed to take a little bit to eat. So they were doing that. A group of religious leaders come up to them, very irate, and accuse them of breaking the fourth commandment. That they were literally breaking one of the Ten Commandments by walking through this field on this Sabbath day and eating of the grain. The fourth commandment. Jesus makes a very interesting comment to them. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus declares himself as the Lord of the Sabbath day. Our country is in a raging battle over the public posting of the Ten Commandments. All over this country, people are arguing and fighting on whether the Ten Commandments should even be posted publicly in any way or form. Many Christians are defending the Ten Commandments, saying that that is a foundational moral code of their faith. Well, then I have a question I want to ask. If the Ten Commandments truly are a foundational moral code of Christianity, then why do so many Christians ignore the fourth commandment? Why is it that so many Christians seem to not recognize that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath? The Sabbath isn't just something that showed up as one of the Ten Commandments. It was something that was actually created by God. But you know, human beings being what we are, we like to believe that somehow our time is our own. And we have these short little lives. And we get so caught up in the minute-by-minute living of these short little lives that we somehow believe this time is our own. You know, when Jesus says that the Sabbath, or man was not made for the Sabbath, in other words, man wasn't created in order to participate simply in a day of worship. But the Sabbath was made for man. There's an enormous benefit that much of Christianity is missing out on in our relationship with God because of ignoring this commandment. How can we ignore one and claim that all of them form a moral code that is the foundation of our faith? Let's face it, it's so easy for us to run through life, running from activity to activity, from thing to thing, making money, spending money, doing this and doing that, until we wear ourselves out. We've never asked the question, who owns my life anyways? Who owns my life? Who do I belong to? What rights does the Creator have on me? A day of rest. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a day with no business calls. None whatsoever. I want you to imagine a day where even if your wife asks you, you can't paint the house. I want you to imagine a day where you don't worry about making money and you don't spend money. I want you to think about a day where you don't jump in the car, rush down to the shopping mall. Imagine a day where you turn off that television. Imagine a day where you refuse to worry about all those things that you worry about all the time. Imagine a day where your exhausted body and your exhausted mind and your exhausted spirit rests. Where you spend time with your family the way you always say you're going to, and you have meals together, and you spend time in the Bible like you always say you're going to, and you spend some time in prayer like you always say you're going to, imagine a day of renewal. Now, if I sit down and ask somebody, does anybody not want to have a day like that? I don't imagine there would be anybody that would say, oh no, I don't want a day like that. Then why is it that God has to command us to do it? Why is it that God has to command us to do it? The Sabbath is a very important commandment. It's one of the Big Ten. See, we look at when God takes the Ten Commandments and puts them together, and those things are important to Him. The fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, is instruction on how to love God. It's also, as Jesus said, it was made for you. It was made not on Mount Sinai. It was made at creation, and it was made for you. Because without it, you'll lose all sense of priorities. You'll lose the sense of holiness. And it's easy to run our lives at such a pace that we just sort of lose contact with God. Imagine a God who loves us so much. He knows we wouldn't pay Him a lot of attention. So once a week, He tells us, come here. I want you to come to Me. Not for 1 hour. Isn't it amazing in our country? Which shows you something about the pace of life we live at. The Christian Sabbath has become 1 hour on a Sunday morning where you go to church and hurry up so you can get home and watch the NFL. You hurry up and get through it because you have something else to do. The concept of what the Bible calls about the Sabbath is almost non-existent. 24 hours where you shut down and you come to God in personal worship and in communal worship, because there's also a command to meet together with others on the Sabbath. Let's take a look at that commandment. How many times have you read the commandments? Exodus 20. You know, we post them. We say we want to obey them. Maybe we as Christians should be less concerned about posting them on the lawns of our government buildings and be more concerned about posting them in our own hearts.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that He included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Exodus 20, verse 8, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. You know, God doesn't say, remember thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder. I mean, that's an easy one. We don't forget that one. This one, He says, you've got to remember this one, because as human beings, this is the one we will forget. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. He says, look, just stop and come. You know, there's very few instructions in the commandment about how to keep the Sabbath. God just says, stop. Stop and come to Him. Stop and come, as Jesus said, to Him as the Lord of the Sabbath. Verse 11, the Sabbath is a memorial of something. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested the Sabbath day, or seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. He blessed it. He created it and he blessed it. The Sabbath day wasn't created for the ancient Israelites. The Sabbath wasn't created for the Jews, which is a misconception that is common in Christianity. That somehow the seventh day Sabbath was created for the Jews and the Jews only. And somehow the Christians were freed from that. Because it's, you know, the law is a shackle to us, so we're free from it. God says you're supposed to keep the Sabbath day to be reminded that he is the creator, that he owns you, that we're his. It is a memorial to God as creator. But you know, the Sabbath day actually also, according to the New Testament, has a prophetic meaning. There's a prophetic meaning to the observance of the Sabbath. Let's turn to Hebrews in the New Testament. Jesus kept the Sabbath, and he said to follow his example. The apostles kept the Sabbath. The New Testament church kept the Sabbath. In fact, at the very beginning, they just met in the synagogues. Jesus never said not to keep it. In fact, it is amazing. You want to do an interesting study sometime? Look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look how many times Jesus talks about how to keep the Sabbath. Do a personal study sometime. Just get out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and start reading it. And every time you see a place that concerns the Sabbath, look at what it's about. It's Jesus explaining how to do it, how to keep it, how to observe it. Is Jesus really our master? Hebrews 3. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, he says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me and proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said that they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. And those people never obtained that. Look what he says now in verse 16. Talking about these people for whom having heard rebelled. He asked the question, for who having heard rebelled? Who rebelled who came out of Egypt? Who were those people? Indeed, it was not all those, or was it not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was it that he was angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Those Israelites that were freed from that slavery did not receive their rest that had been promised to them. It's why God brought them out of Egypt. The reason they didn't receive the rest is they just didn't believe enough to follow. So let's continue now in chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Now what is he saying? There's a promise that still remains. What is the promise to Christians? It's not just some land over in modern-day Israel. The rest that is promised to Christians is the kingdom of God. The rest that is promised to Christians is contained in 1 Corinthians 15 that talks about receiving a resurrected body. The rest that is promised to Christians is so much greater than the rest that was promised to them. And he says that still remains a promise of rest. That this labor and this toil of being a human being, of having bodies that wear out, of struggling with our own humanity, are struggling with sin. He says there's a rest promised Christians that still remains, that's still there. And the writer of Hebrews says, now let's be careful lest we end up wandering around in our own wilderness. Many times as Christians we're wandering around in the wilderness instead of headed towards the promised land. We're wandering around in the wilderness saying, where's God? God says, well, just, hey, the pillar of fire is going this way. The kingdom's here. We're headed towards there. Christ is going to come back and establish it. But we wander around in our own self-made wildernesses so much of the time. He says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which was heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They just didn't have the faith. And the Greek word that's translated faith could better be translated trust. Just this total giving of yourself and trust to God. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We already as Christians enter into a rest with God. That's what Jesus said when he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Come take my yoke, and I'll take yours. Now, we bring all these burdens to God, and Christ says, okay, let me take your burdens, and I'll give you mine, which is basically, you and I do this together. You and I have already entered into a rest, a very special kind of rest. There is a peace that can come from God that you and I can't experience naturally on our own. There's a comfort that can come from God in our deepest depressions, in our darkest times, in our griefs, in our senses of loss, and all the things that we go through. There is something that can come from God that you and I can't manufacture. It is a rest. And in our darkest times, sometimes we experience that rest. So we've already entered into a type of rest, a relationship with God, a relationship that those people never attained. Now, there's a reason for that. God's Spirit was never poured out on them. That's why He promises them in Deuteronomy, someday I will resurrect you, and I will pour out my Spirit upon you. But Christians have the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that He included it in the Ten Commandments? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. 1-800-966-9232.
Verse 4. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in this place, he's quoting from the Old Testament. He quotes here from, of course, Genesis 2. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you hear the voice, do not harden your hearts. He quotes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95 through Psalm 100 are worship psalms. They were psalms that were sung on the Sabbath day. See, the writer of Hebrews is weaving a whole lot of things together here to make a point. Ancient Israel was promised a promised land, a rest. They didn't get there because of unbelief, a lack of faith. That entire generation died off. He says, there's a rest that you and I enter into in our relationship with God. He says, there is a day of rest. He goes back to Genesis. It was created by God. He then quotes from a psalm that was a Sabbath psalm that was sung in the temple on the Sabbath day. And he weaves all these things together. Verse 8, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. He says, you know, if they would have entered that promised land, even under Joshua, they still didn't obtain the rest. They got the promised land, but they still didn't obtain the rest that has to do with a relationship with God. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. It's an interesting phrase in Greek. That word rest there is the only place in the Bible it's used. It literally means a keeping of the Sabbath. Therefore, there remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as did God from his. Verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. The point that the writer is making here is, you and I have a promised land. We have a rest at the end of this journey that is waiting for us. He says, be careful that we're not like the people of ancient Israel, who were promised a rest, and that entire generation didn't make it. But that's okay, because their children went in under Joshua, and they still didn't get the rest that's being offered to Christians. They still didn't get the rest that's being offered, not a physical place, but the spiritual kingdom of God. Eternity is being offered. To be with Jesus Christ when He returns. You know, when Christ returns in that millennium to rule, or to rule for the millennium, what's He going to do? He's going to fix this earth. He's going to change humanity, so there is no more war and no more hatred and no more greed and no more envy. And here, the writer of Hebrews ties in the Sabbath day with the coming rest of the coming promised land. Fascinating way to weave this together. See, the Sabbath day, the seventh-day Sabbath, which is ignored so much by Christianity, and the seventh-day Sabbath is not Sunday, by the way. The Sabbath in the Bible is the seventh day, not the first day. The seventh-day Sabbath is a testimony of the coming rest. It is a memorial of the creation, and it is a testimony of the future. And it has an enormous benefit for us today, because it was made for us to keep us from running ourselves to death and to keep us coming back to our God. It is the greatest cure there is for hurry disease. It is the greatest cure there is for becoming so preoccupied with money and things that we lose perspective of what's really important in life. It's important in bringing families together. And it is so important in being able to come to God and understand what is truly holy. Something is only holy by the will of God. Only He can declare something holy. You and I don't have that ability. And He says, this is a holy day for holy people to come before a holy Creator and before a holy Son, and to worship the Lord of the Sabbath. It is a misunderstood, the most misunderstood of all the commandments. What will it be like during that great rest that if we observe the Sabbath, we actually get a little bit of experience of what it will be like? In a very minor way, we get a little bit of experience of what it is to truly rest with God when we keep the Sabbath day properly. It shouldn't be shackled with all the, you know, the way that the first century Jews shackled it with so many restrictions that Jesus himself was condemned as a Sabbath breaker. The Lord of the Sabbath is a Sabbath breaker, one of the great ironies of all time. But it is supposed to give us a testimony of the future rest, to keep us looking at that future rest, to help us understand it and moving towards it, so that the despair and the cares of life can be dropped. And at the end of that day, you come out with a clearer, closer relationship with God that helps you through the rest of the six. It brings us back to base. It brings us home. That's what the Sabbath is. It's God bringing us home once a week. Now, we should be in contact with God all the time. But I won't ask for a raise of hands of how many people truly are in contact with God the way they should be 24 hours a day. Because I couldn't raise my hand and say I am. But God brings us back every once in a while and says, hey, you're drifting, kid. Come back home. And it reminds us of that future. What is that future like? The Old Testament prophets tell us a lot about what it will be like when Jesus comes back and establishes that rest for all humanity. Rest. Humanity has a great rest that is coming. It is to be something that we as Christians are to strive and live for. That's our purpose. That's our goal. That's why we are willing to struggle every day with our own sins. That's why we are willing every day to work out our marriages and our relationships and stick with our job, to continue moving forward, because we believe. We have faith. We're not just wandering around in a wilderness. We're headed someplace. Jesus Christ came the first time to make available salvation. He comes the second time to save humanity. The concept of the biblical Sabbath leads us away from this ritualistic 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week, come to church. It brings us back into what God wanted us to be. Have you been missing out on this special gift from God? Is your life so hectic that you want to be close to God, but you just don't have the time to do it? Instead of cramming every day with exhausting activity, it's time to set aside the day that He said, come home. It's time to set aside the day to get away from all the things that shackle us, to remove ourselves from our making of money and spending of money, from our work, from our buzz and noise of entertainment, and come to our Creator and come to our Savior. It's time for Christians to stop ignoring the fourth commandment. And it's time to begin to celebrate the Sabbath day.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy begins the fourth commandment. Why did God consider the Sabbath so important that He included it in the Ten Commandments? Today, the Sabbath command is almost universally ignored and considered irrelevant in modern society. But is it? Our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Rest, will show you why God created the Sabbath and help you discover its vital relevance for Christians today. It will show you from the pages of your Bible what the truth is and what it means for you. Call right now for your free copy, 1-800-966-9232. Request your copy of Sunset to Sunset and discover this surprising truth Jesus Christ taught. Call 1-800-966-9232. Your free copy is waiting for you. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.